If it isn't, it's mine. So I'll let you know which one to turn to. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Probably the most known and best loved psalm of all the psalms. 150 psalms. Not that the other psalms don't have great value and purpose in our lives. They really do, because the Word of God's Word to speak to our hearts and lift us up and give us direction. Psalm 23. No matter where you go, in whatever country, whatever culture, whatever language, where God's Word has been proclaimed and printed and distributed out in the community, Psalm 23 just seems to resonate. We saw that in Kalimantan. Out there in Kalimantan, on the Isle of the Morning, they don't have sheep. But you know, they got to know and understand the love of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And what a wonderful picture to them. Indeed, it resonated with their hearts, and I pray it has and will and continue to resonate in our hearts together. Amen? Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. Take out your outline, too, if you don't mind. We're going through the sermon series for the next couple of months. Psalms for the Seasons of Life. Now, we're not talking about the chronological seasons that we all go through from childhood, adolescenthood, teenagers, adults, and so on. But we're talking about the seasons of life, the experience that you and I go through in the journey of life, the emotional experiences, whatever that may be right now in your life. It's a season that God wants to address through His Word, by His Spirit. It's sort of like seeds can be the good, bad, and the ugly, you know what I mean? And sometimes you go through a very ugly season. But God is there to help through. David knew that. David knew that personally. He knew that prophetically as well. And he knew that so personally that he wrote about it, especially in Psalm 23. Beautiful psalm. The Shepherd's Psalm. The title Shepherd, of course, is used throughout the Word of God, both in the Old and New Testament. It's a term, if you will, or even a title that has been applied to kings. The Lord God, referring to Cyrus in the book of Isaiah. Cyrus, my shepherd. He was a servant, though not believing in the Lord God at that time. But prophetically, God says, I'm going to use Cyrus to release my people from bondage, from captivity, and bring them back into the promised land. The kings in Israel were oftentimes referred to as shepherds as well. Think of King David. Yeah, both as a shepherd king, but as a shepherd boy, too. So he understood what a shepherd was. It's a picture of God's care, too, that is communicated so clearly, so graphically in Psalm 23. God's care and protection for his people. But also Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, is a prophetic view of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Jesus himself, the very Son of God, fully man and fully God, your Savior, my Savior, is also our shepherd. He identifies fully with Psalm 23 there in John chapter 10. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. We're talking about this shepherd that David is writing about. I am the Good Shepherd. And I have a flock, my sheep. We're going to take a look at that later as we go through Psalm 23. But Psalm 23 is about faith in the faithful shepherd. That's where our faith resides. Our faith is in the faithful one, the one who is always faithful, the faithful shepherd, in the face of many fears. We all face fears at different times, in different degrees, over different things. Fears. But this psalm is also part of a triad of psalms. Three psalms. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. And you see, in your outline, Psalm 22 presents Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd who died for his sheep. We can see the cross, yes, prophetically portrayed in Psalm 22, the very words that Jesus Christ cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's found in Psalm 22. There's so many prophetic pictures of the saving work of Jesus Christ, Psalm 22 being one of them, and so it's part of that triad. The first one in that triad of three psalms that focus on Jesus Christ as a shepherd. Psalm 23, of course, presents Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd who lives for his people. And Psalm 24 presents Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd who comes for his sheep, We see the sovereign in Psalm 24. Where our God reigns, aren't you glad? Well, I sure am. Amen. He's on the throne today. Don't you doubt it. No matter how many people say, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. He reigns and rules in this world. And it has a time that he has set. We see that also in Psalm 23, how he is in control. But Psalm 23 is really when faith meets our fears. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wrestling with some real fears. More than just something that's passing. Maybe you're afraid for the next diagnosis of a recent test. Maybe you're afraid to lose your job. Maybe you're afraid to lose your spouse. Maybe you're afraid to lose your child. Fear. Sometimes fear can be so great you can almost taste it. Have you been there? I know I've heard people who serve us. Oh, I'm not afraid of anyone or anything. Oh, really? Fear is very real. Some people in the service don't want to talk about. But all of us in life know what to talk about. Fear. When faith meets our fears, basically it's seeing the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ to meet every fear, every season in your life. Listen to what Paul says. He, meaning God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's a great verse. If you're in Bible, you ought to mark that out. Camp on that verse if you're not 2 days, if you will. Again, 2 Peter. This is what Peter says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. In the shepherd song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, David says. The shepherd is one who leads, one who feeds, one who protects the flock. That's what the shepherd does in your life and my life, if you know how to save. And you can today, it's not. Sheep. Sheep is it's an appropriate metaphor of humanity. But sheep are God. Yes, that's us. When it comes to the wisdom of God and the ways of God, you've heard none of those things. Sheep tend to wander away. They get lost easily. That's why they need a shepherd. A shepherd who will lead them, who will lead them and protect them. And the sheep also are very skittish and they're very fearful. They're extremely fearful. Appropriate. An appropriate picture or metaphor for you and I. It's so easy, isn't it? To wander. Lord, I'm going to wander. Lord, I feel it. Lord, bring me back. That's what shepherds do. Listen to what Isaiah says. All we like what? Sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a great passage here in Isaiah 53. He talks about us being sheep. Sheep. That's God talking. To his servant, Isaiah. But now today through his word, the Bible. Fear. Fear is an emotional experience that everyone has since the fall. In fact, take a look at your analogy for you. The result of the fall, we're talking about Genesis 3, where Adam and sin disobeyed God, they sinned against God, but God said you can eat of any tree in the garden except for this one. And Eve was tempted by Satan, and she ate of that tree, and she gave it to Adam, and he ate also. And in that act of disobedience, sin came into the very heart and soul of humanity. That's referred to as the fall. They fell out of that great privileged position they had. Because of sin. The result of sin. Sin coming in and taking control of a man. That's what fear can do. Fear can control us. And come into our lives. We're fearful about many things. Our fears can debilitate and even destroy us. If we let them. That's the operative phrase there in that little little statement there, if you will. Fear can do that thing. It can debilitate us. It can destroy us if we let them. Have you let fear control and rule in your life? Why don't you, if you have and if you are right now, why don't you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's Word and let the good shepherd, your faith in the faith of the shepherd, face whatever fear you face. And I guarantee you, Christ will take control. You see, that's what shepherds do. Multiple passages in the Word of God where the Lord tells His people, fear not, fear not, fear not. Now, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, take a look at this verse that Paul reminds Timothy. Apparently, Timothy, sometimes he would be fearful, he would be anxious. And so much so that it affected his stomach, okay? Have you been there? Sometimes we have, you know, we get anxious, we get worried, we get fearful. And Paul reminds Timothy, there in 2 Timothy 1:7, you have it in your outline before you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love. His love flowing in and through us, in a relationship with Him and with others, and of a sound mind. Sound mind. I want a sound mind, don't you? Yeah. A sound mind that is eager to hear, to study the Word of God, to understand it and apply it and do it in our life. That's what a sound mind, from God's perspective is. Not doing my thing, but doing God's thing. Under the shepherding of the good shepherd. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Faith. We have a lot of people talking about faith. And even now, which seems in our society, in our time where everything seems to be either secular, materialistic, or whatever, still people talk about faith. You know, and it's good because it can become a bridge for you and I to share what a living faith and a living Savior is all about. I mean that from my heart. Sometimes people they want to hear. Take a look, if you will. Faith. It's trust and commitment to the object of that faith. If you have faith in something, that's the object of your faith. But we're talking about faith in a person now, aren't we? Faith in a person. Faith is the hand of a sinner laying hold of the faithful Savior and Shepherd in absolute trust and surrender. I like that definition. Because it's personal. It's relational. That's what faith is. A living faith. I know a lot of people say, well, I have faith. Did you say that? Did you have faith? But the Christian says, I have the Lord. I have the Lord. You see, that's what David's saying. The Lord is my, what? My shepherd, I shall not want. David isn't just saying, I have faith. You say, no, I have the Lord. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's a declaration of his living faith in the living Lord, if you will. Take a look, if you will, in your outline before you. Faith declaration. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's kind of a summary statement of all that he's going to say next in the successive verses of the Psalm 23. That's not unusual because a lot of times in Hebrew poetry you have a summary statement stated first and then you have all the reasons why that is true. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. David is saying, can you say that? I pray you can. That's a declaration of faith in a loving, living Savior. And he is our shepherd. It's a confession and a commitment. Take a look, if you will, in your outline before you. It's a commitment and a confession to the Lord. It's personal and ever-present fact. And it's interesting. David, in some psalms that he writes, he uses the word Adonai. And it's translated capital lowercase O-R-D. But here it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital T. Now most Bible translators, especially translating into the English language, make that delineation between the word Adonai, which means Lord Master, and all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, as Yahweh, or I Am. When Moses says, well, who shall I say that called me and sending me? What's your name? Is what Moses was saying there at the burning bush when he met the Lord, all caps. And what did the Lord say? Tell them, I Am, has sent you. You see, this is the personal name of God. It's who he is. The eternal living God. The one who's always present. Always present. It's a personal name. It's a covenant name. In all the passages that speak of God's covenant with his people, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, that's the name that he chooses. It's a covenantal name. It's a God of promise who keeps his promises. And also, in all of the redemptive passages, passages that speak of God's loving, gracious redemption of sinners, that's the name. That's the name that he chooses. That's the name that David says. The Lord, the Yahweh, the great I am, he's my shepherd. Not just any old person, but the great I am. Is he yours? Is he? I pray he is. And that's why David can say, because the Lord is my shepherd. Present tense, right now, and always will be. I shall not want. Confession of commitment to the Lord is your contentment and confidence in the Lord as well. I shall not want. What do you mean, Bill? I have a lot of wants. Well, you know, sometimes, and I'm learning too, I'm still learning this, okay? Sometimes I confuse my desires with my wants. Everybody, you've done that? You know? And sometimes I make my desires my needs. Have you ever done that? And you have sometimes your heart longing and desire. Why did you get it? You say, what is this? You know what I mean? But David's saying, the Lord, Yahweh, the great I am is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And in this revelation of a relationship, David shows us that if the Lord, Yahweh, the great I am, is your shepherd too, you shall not want. And all the fears you have, or ever will have, can be faced with a living faith in the living shepherd. Take a look. Our living faith meets our fears of life. Verse 2, he makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the still waters. You know that. In fact, you probably don't even have to read it. You know it by heart, I'm sure. But David is saying, even when I have the possibility or experience the fear of life, my good shepherd, my shepherd is there, the great I am. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. Leads you beside the still waters. David's still using that metaphorical picture, if you will, of a shepherd and sheep. So sheep, what do they eat? They don't eat steak. Okay? They certainly don't eat mutton. Okay? But they eat grass and they drink water, okay? So those are their needs. Those are their needs. And David is saying, he leads me down. Life makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. So fear of lack, he meets our needs. Do you have a fear of lack? What am I going to do? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do next week? What am I going to do in my retirement year? What am I going to do? You're going to trust the living shepherd who's also good, who's also very faithful, often. Daily sustenance. And think of that passage where the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, is teaching in that Sermon on the Mount. And but see ye first the kingdom of God. All these things he's talking about the sustenance of life. Well, all these things will be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. God has promised so many times throughout his word. But here is the living experience of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He provides. Maybe the fear of loneliness. Some people have the fear of loneliness. So if you will, to address that fear, sometimes they get into wrong relationships because they're afraid of being lonely. You've heard it, you've seen it, and maybe you have had that fear. But faith in the shepherd addresses that fear also. take a look at this passage, the beginning passage. He makes me. He leads me. He doesn't send a surrogate. He doesn't send an angel. He, the great I Am, the Lord God Jehovah, Yahweh, He leads me. He makes me. His loving, caring, shepherding presence is with those who know the shepherd and Savior. He restores my soul. There in verse 3, restores. And the word literally means to return or to renew. Fears that can unsettle our very souls. It may be the fear of shame. It may be the fear of guilt. It may be deep anxieties, worries, that have reached down into the very soul of your life. Have you had that? Some of you have. Some of you may have. The shepherd is there, and he restores our soul. Spiritual personal renewal. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, the fear of the unknown. Sometimes you get into a situation in life, maybe the change of a job, maybe the change of geography, maybe whatever change, or whatever decision or choice you have to make. We looked at that last week in Psalm 1, but here again, if you will, fear, sometimes fear of unknown, fear of not knowing where to turn, fear of feeling lost in life. But the Good Shepherd, Yahweh, the Great I Am, He will guide you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. We don't have to fear the unknown. Because He's here with us. You don't have to fear of what you're going to do tomorrow. The same Shepherd is with you today. Will be with you tomorrow. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Fear of the unknown. Let's go on. Our living faith beats our fear of dying. Take a look. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, underline that, shadow of death. Death is a reality. It really is. For all of us. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A personal experience for everyone. Every one of us are going to die. That's a reality. That's the truth. That's a fact. Okay? In fact, it says here in God's Word, it says, and justice is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. That's a fearful statement. And it should be. Because there is judgment. Judgment for all sin. But the grace of the gospel is that if you know Jesus Christ, the great I Am, as your Lord and Shepherd, you also know Him as the Savior who died for your sins and took your judgment that you rightly deserve, that I rightly deserve, your condemnation from a holy God and my condemnation from a holy God. Poured out upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ on the cross. You've heard me say that little baby. Born once, died twice. That's a fact also. Everyone who is born will die. And die again. The second death. But born twice, died once. What that means is, yes, you and I have been born physically. We have a birthday, don't we? Sometimes we want to forget the year, but we want to remember the day. But then you've been born again. Like Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nick, now this is a paraphrase, Bill Gray's paraphrase, okay? He said, Nick, you've got to be born again. Born twice. That's why it's not wrong to use that term or that phrase, being a born-again Christian. In order to be a Christian, you've got to be born again. So born twice, die once. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Personal experience for everyone. How are you experiencing that? And how will you experience that? Are you afraid of dying? I know, I've heard some people, I'm not afraid of dying, Bill, I'm just afraid of how I'm going to die. I understand, believe me. I've been in the ministry long enough to see how difficult and challenging death experience can be, and you have to. But I also know that the born again believer, the shepherd, is right there for them. Personal experience for everyone. A promised presence of the shepherd. He says, I will be there with you. I will fear no evil. David's saying, I know even when I go through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, the Savior is there with me. The shepherd is there with me. Take a look at Isaiah in your outline. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he said that in our living. He said that in our dying. And he said that for all eternity. Amen? And fear of dying? Know the shepherd. Fear of eternity? Know the shepherd. And you can. You can. Protection and guidance by the shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was that weapon that the shepherd used against predators. Wolves, or whatever predator there was, you know, coming after the sheep, that were guided and protected by him. He would use the rod, sometimes a sling, the rod. He would never use the rod on the sheep, but he would use a staff. Sometimes he'd have to refer them along. Sometimes he'd have a hook, if you will, a crook at the end. And sometimes he'd have to pull them along. Sometimes sheep, as dumb as we are, sometimes we fall into places that we shouldn't be. And sometimes our shepherd, the great I am, reaches out with that staff, that shepherd's staff, and pulls us out of that situation. I thank the Lord that he's done that in my life many times. I'm a dumb sheep. You didn't know that when you hired me, right? No. But the Lord did. Amen. And does. Since therefore the children share in faith, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, speaking of Jesus Christ, likewise partook of the same things, that through death, his death, there on the cross, buried in the tomb, the third day he rose again, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death. That's why for the believer, who like David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he's my Savior, he's my shepherd, and I'm only going to the valley of the shadow of death. That's not the end. Deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. I know some people who are so afraid of dying, and you know some too. They will do anything to live another day. Our days are recorded in God's Word. You need to know that. Read Psalm 139. Before we even have one day of our lives, God has recorded the days of our lives in His book. Our living, go on, let's go on. Our living faith meets our fears and the adversaries of life. We all need adversaries in life. Okay? The greatest adversary of course is the devil. You and I meet him every day. Oh, he's disguised, but he's there. That's why, now here's a little commercial, if you'll permit me. That's why we're having the first Wednesday of the month, a time of prayer for spiritual warfare. There are three battlefronts in your life. If you're a born-again believer, there are three battlefronts in your life. Don't forget this, please. Because your adversaries will not forget this. And they will use ignorance, our ignorance, as a tool for our defeat. Three battlefronts. The
world, our own flesh, and Satan. Those are the three battlefronts that you and I face every day. But I have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. And like the psalmist says, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, okay, all caps, Lord, you are my refuge. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, you are my shield. And he's all of that. And so much more. That's what David is sharing. Whatever fear you have, whatever fear you will have, God is saying through David, through God's word, know the shepherd. Know him personally. Know him, love him, follow him, obey him every day. Living faith meets our fears and adversaries. You prepare a table before me, the presence of my enemies, who anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. There is a place of peace in the midst of storm and turmoil of life. In the midst of storming fears. Oh, what's she going to do? What's he going to do? What are they going to do? Find that place. Find that place that he provides for you. And feast on his grace. Feast on his life. David says, you prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. But I can sit down with you, Lord. And I can partake and I can fellowship with you. And whatever they say, whatever they do, it doesn't matter. I have you. Place of joy and abundance. You anoint my head with oil. The anointing here, as I know some have said, is a healing anointing, because they did use oil for as healing emollients and oils. But here in this context of setting a feast, a table, and having fellowship and partaking, it seems like it's oftentimes when they would invite many friends and family to a feast, there would be a servant there who would anoint the head of all the attendants. It was an expression of love, of acceptance, of receiving, but it was also an expression of gladness of heart. That's why you have the Word of God, the oil of gladness, right? And the garment of praise. That's what he gives us. There at the sea, at the table, a place of joy and abundance, and my cup overflows. Take a look at the next part, if you will. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love this passage, don't you? All the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A living faith meets our fears of eternity. Eternity is coming. Eternity is coming for every one of us. And the question is, for every man, woman, and boy, and girl, where will you spend eternity? Because God has put eternity within the soul that was created, men and women and boys and girls. Eternity is coming. But where will you spend that eternity? David knows where he's going to spend it. Because the Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. Even the fears that I may have about eternity to come, I don't fear, because the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, the great I am. And he's preparing a place for us. The great I am, Jesus Christ, said to his disciples there in the upper room, and says to his disciples now in this room, if you will, I go and prepare a place for you. So come again and take you to be with me. That's what David is talking about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The certainty and the security that believers have in Jesus Christ as Savior, as Shepherd. The great I am. Are you fearful this morning? Are your fears controlling you? Now, I don't want to go down the whole list, but if you're here for this morning, and you know what I'm talking about, have the tears. You know what it is. But God, from His Word, is again reaffirming to you His grace in His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you get to believe in Him and know Him as Shepherd, as Savior, and Lord, God is inviting you through His Word today. Jesus is that good shepherd who looks for the lost sheep. And He finds them. His searching is never futile. It's faithful and truthful. He will always find them. Now maybe you're here this morning. You're saying, Bill, I love this song, but I don't know the shepherd. Like David knows the shepherd. Well, let me tell you this morning. You can know Him like David knows Him. You can know Him, the great I Am, as Savior and Shepherd. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That's Jesus Christ. He said those words. He gave His life. He was buried in the tomb. He rose again. He ascended to God the Father at the right hand. And He's coming back. That's Jesus Christ. That's the shepherd who looks and seeks out lost sheep. He's the shepherd who goes after that wandering sheep. Maybe you're there. I don't know. The Bible has much to say about believers who wander and hear His way. I was there. But Jesus, the great I Am, my shepherd, pulled me back. Has He pulled me back? Or are you still wandering? Are you still drinking? Would you cry out to the shepherd today? Say, Lord, bring me back. Lord, make me yours. Be my shepherd. Be my Savior. Father, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all that You are and always will be, our Savior, our Shepherd. And I pray, Father, that there be any man or woman here in this auditorium that cannot say with absolute honesty and certainty of heart that You are their Shepherd and Savior. Oh, Father, oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that You move upon that one's heart to the depths of their soul. Bring them to Yourself in faith believing, knowing that You, Lord Jesus, died for their sins that they could be forgiven. Died for their sins and took their judgment upon Yourself there on the cross. And then rose again triumphantly from death. Oh, Lord, make the reality, the power, the truth of Your gospel a reality and a fact in their lives today, I pray. For Your name's sake, amen.